What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wind swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauly and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We have arrived to Monday. Welcome in. It's time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Only have you for an hour tonight. We'll get done at about 7 o'clock and then head on over to Humphreys for the SLU Basketball Coaches Show. It is the season debut tonight. They'll focus on the women's side of things this evening as Tom Ackerman's going to be there along with Coach Tillett. So that's going to start just after the 7 o'clock news. We've got a lot to get to between now and then. As always, if you want to chime in on anything that we're talking about, you can call or text 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or you can leave us a voice message if you are listening via the Odyssey app. Just click down on the microphone button and you can send a message our way. So those are the various ways that you can get connected with the program as we roll through tonight. On the show, in about 5 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by Howard Balzer, longtime St. Louis football guy, more than that, and now he's based in Arizona. Tonight's NFL game is being played in Arizona, despite the fact that the Cardinals are not involved. They had to move out of Los Angeles because of the horrific wildfires that are going on out west. So they've moved the game from Los Angeles to Glendale, Arizona, as the Rams and the Vikings are going to match up against each other tonight. You know, we try to make sure to talk Cardinals baseball every single day on this show, and there's a lot coming up. Winter warm-up is this weekend. Cardinals Caravan is this weekend. Baseball Writers coming up this weekend as well. There's a lot going on, but there's not a lot to talk about because nothing has really progressed or moved forward. It feels like they're still waiting to get a Nolan Arenado deal done. Whether or not that deal gets done or not, we'll just have to wait. The Bregman situation and where he ends up is still the thing that could possibly be potentially holding up a possible Arenado deal. There might be some teams out there that are quietly hoping that they can get Bregman and have not been involved in Arenado at all. And when Bregman's not available anymore, maybe it changes and maybe all of a sudden you do start to... Maybe that drums up a little bit more interest for him. There's still plenty of time to get the deal done. I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, you know, it's nothing else is happening. And we talked about this a little bit today at 5:15, myself and Kevin Wheeler. There are obviously, and I'm not trying to be dismissive of the opposite of this, but there are obviously moves that could be made or might be made that are connected to that first domino coming down. I get that. They need to know where they're going to be at financially. So the idea of going out and signing a relief pitcher or going out and signing a right-handed bat that can play a little bit in the outfield, things like that, you're probably not doing it right now until you get out from under the Arenado money. I get that. And that's a real thing. And you can like it or not like it. I'm just talking in reality. That's the reality of the situation. But at the same time, I feel like we're putting everything behind that Arenado domino. Can they go trade Steven Matz right now if they wanted to? I don't know the interest in him, but I got to think there's some. When you look at how much mid-level starting pitchers are getting paid right now, and you look at the one-year nature of bringing on Steven Matz at a number that's not bad, at the 12 and a half, I think it is, that he's due for the upcoming season. I think that's something that a lot of teams out there would be interested in. It wasn't their plan A or plan B or maybe even their plan C when things got started. But when you go watch Frankie Montas and Matthew Boyd and Luis Severino all get paid in the neighborhood of $20 million per year, all of a sudden Steven Matz at 12 and a half doesn't look bad. You gamble on the fact that, you know, maybe he's going to be able to find himself healthy. That could happen. He's due for a healthy year. Now, that being said, sometimes we do the thing where we look and see who's going to be at winter warmup and who's going to be out on Cardinal caravans and who's going to be involved in this weekend coming up. And maybe that signals something, maybe it doesn't. And it doesn't always signal anything. I was on a Cardinal caravan last year that when everything got released, Richie Palacios and James Nail were both scheduled to be on it. And by the time we got to that weekend, they weren't on it anymore. I saw James Nail on the Saturday of winter warmup. And by the time that day ended, there was an agreement to sell his contract to, I think it was a Korean baseball team, if I remember correctly. So just because people, and obviously Richie Palacios got traded last year to the Rays. So there are times where people are scheduled to be at winter warmup, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to be involved in everything or even be on the team when the season gets started. But all that being said, Steven Matz is scheduled to be at winter warmup this weekend. In fact, he is scheduled to be on KMOX on Saturday. We got the schedule today of the various interviews and things like that that we're going to be doing coming up this weekend. I'll be out there broadcasting from, I think, 10 to 1:15 on Saturday, and we're going to have a lot of folks coming by, and Steven Matz is one of them. So we'll be talking with him, among other people, coming up on Saturday. One other quick note before we get to Howard Balzer. I teased, for those of you who just listened to Sports Open Line, to every single second of it, and you remember every word that comes out of my mouth. I teased something on Friday that I would give this up. And if you follow me on social media, you've probably already seen this, or if you listen to the station, maybe you've already heard this because we're running a promo for it. But I'm really excited about what's going to be coming up on the Countdown to Opening Day show coming up on Thursday, because new Cardinals assistant GM for player development and performance, Rob Serfolio, a guy who's a really, really, really big part of what the organization is going to be looking like in years moving forward, a guy who was plucked from the Cleveland Guardians, has a fantastic reputation. I met him in Dallas at the winter meetings. Very, very, very impressive guy. He hasn't done much media. I think it was Lynn Worthy with Post-Dispatch spoke with him at the winter meetings and did a nice story about that and kind of interviewed him. But Mike Claiborne and myself, we're going to get him for about a half hour coming up on Thursday for the Countdown to Opening Day show. So if you want to hear from Rob Serfolio, get to know him a little bit, understand his background, understand what the Cardinals are going to be trying to do moving forward as the Heim Bloom era takes over come next season. And Serfolio is already in place and is already starting to work through some things. He's made a good number of hires. I mean, there's a lot going on. He is going to join us. We're going to be recording that at Cardinal Nation Restaurant and Bar at about 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, and then we'll play it back in this time slot, the 6 to 8. So really looking forward to you being able to hear from Rob Serfolio, and that's going to be coming up on Thursday. Also looking forward to you being able to hear from old friend Howard Balzer. He's going to join us in just a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Take you till 7 o'clock this evening. We're done a little early. We've got the Slew Billikens coaches show from Humphreys from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Going to be great to hear this guy's voice. St. Louisans are very familiar with him, spending much of his life in this city. He is now based in Arizona, covering the Cardinals for Cards Wire, but also covers the NFL as a whole. He is a Howard Balzer. You follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721. Howard, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for taking some time with us this evening.
Well, thanks for having me on. Always great to talk to everybody back there in St. Louis.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what's going on in Arizona tonight, because the NFL had to move a playoff game. Vikings-Rams, obviously, the wildfires taking place in California result in this game being moved. What kind of a, just from a getting things done perspective, how tough was it to get this thing moved and to be pulling this game off tonight?
there was so much involved, as you can imagine, when because it wasn't decided, obviously, until Thursday. And I think, you know, the league knew that, hey, we've got to make a decision. We can't wait much longer than this because of everything that would have to be done from, you know, getting the teams here. They went out and they painted the Rams. People watching will see the Rams logo at midfield in the end zone. Well, one end zone will say Los Angeles and the other will say Rams. I mean, heck, just from the basic stuff of ordering all the food you need for the people that are going to be there with all the hot dogs and food and drink and all those things. There was so much, you know, so much of those logistics that had to be handled. And then the Cardinals, you know, with Michael Bidwell, the team owns two Boeing 777s, and they sent those planes to Los Angeles on Friday. And the team and a lot of the staff came in on late Friday and practiced at the Cardinals facility in Tempe on Saturday. And then families are coming in. You know, the Rams made it so the families of all the players could come. In fact, there was actually, I don't know if it was on one of the planes or both, whatever, there were actually 6 dogs and 2 cats that made the trip. So there were a lot of things that were involved in this logistically to pull it off. And obviously what they want to make it, at least a feel for the Rams and the fans that will be here, is to make it feel as much like a home game as they possibly can. And so it was a pretty big undertaking, but looks like they pulled it off without much of a hitch.
Some people made the point that Las Vegas is closer to L.A. than Arizona is. What was it about Glendale that the NFL chose to go with this site?
Well, I think a big part of it, and yeah, it's closer. It's not like it's hugely closer, and once you get on a plane, does it really matter? But I think one of the reasons was is that this has happened before, and that there have been games in Glendale at State Farm Stadium in other years when there was, you know, I remember one year was San Diego when the Chargers were still there, and they had fires in San Diego. And so there's been about 2 or 3 other instances where they had to do this, and so I think just the comfort level there and having done it before and all that, I think was a big part of why they decided to do it here in Arizona.
You made a joke on your Twitter account about the fact that, you know, with all the criticism of the college football playoff in their first round, yeah. Well, the NFL's first round, it was mostly non-compelling. The Commanders-Buccaneers game was really, really good. Outside of that, it was mostly blowouts. And that's just what happens when you have really good teams against teams that are not as good. And that's what happens in first round of playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I look back, and you always want to look to see if this was an outlier. And, you know, last I didn't go back too many years, but last year it was one and the same. I mean, there was one close game among, you know, the six, you know, opening weekend games, and the others were blowouts also last year. And so I've wondered about this, that up until this year, the NFL was calling this super wild card weekend. I think they started doing that when they added the games and you know, they added playoff teams. And so they had, you know, 6 games this first weekend. And I think they realized, well, maybe that's a little bit over the top when, yeah, you can call it what you want, but the games weren't super. And this year they just called it wild card weekend. So, but like you said, it's just a matter of what happens with, you know, home teams and, you know, teams with, you know, worse records. And, but it's, when one team takes control a lot of times in the postseason, then they're able to build on that. And a lot of times it's hard for a team to come from behind. So we'll see if this game follows through tonight. Hopefully it'll be a better game than most of the other ones. But that's certainly been a signature point of this, you know, this first weekend of playoff games.
Yeah, when the schedule came out, I thought there were 2 good games on paper. One of them was Washington-Tampa Bay, and that was a really good game last night. And the other was this one. Does moving the game, I mean, the Rams don't have a, and the Rams have been playing really, really good football for the second half of the season. I'm not trying to take a shot at them here, but they don't have a huge home field advantage. A lot of visiting fans get in there. Does moving the game tonight, how much of an impact do you think that can have on this game?
Yeah, it's a good question because, like you said, SoFi Stadium a lot of times gets inundated with fans from other teams. And what a lot of people are wondering is, and obviously, you know, most of the time fans can plan for that. Because you plan in advance, you get the schedule in May, and you can say, okay, these are the games you want to travel to. A playoff game, well, all of a sudden, that you have to make plans pretty quickly. So everyone's wondering how many Vikings fans there will be at this game tonight. And of all the tickets they sold, that was another logistical thing. Of all the tickets they sold so quickly, you wonder, well, who's buying them? Are those really fans or are those brokers? And how many people, I mean, heck, they made tickets available to Cardinals season ticket holders, and you wonder, well, are they buying those really to go to the game, or are they buying them to try to flip them and make some money on it? So I think the makeup of the crowd tonight is going to be very interesting, but I don't know how much of an impact home and away will be. You know, the Vikings, you know, this game has a differential of 4 games. You know, that's a big thing, you know, about, you know, what happens, you know, sometimes. And, you know, the Vikings are a 5 seed, which they probably, when you look at records, they should be a 2 seed. So it'll be very, very interesting, especially to see how the Vikings bounce back from that bad loss to the Lions last week. So, you know, we'll see if the Rams, I think they're capable of staying with them, but I think the Vikings are going to bounce back from that. And certainly, you know, being in Arizona, not being in L.A. might help them a little bit, but we'll find out soon enough.
We're talking with Howard Balzer. They just did, we have the ESPN pregame show on in our studio. They just did like a drone flyover of the stands, and obviously we're still a ways away from kickoff, so a lot of people to get in. But Howard, all I saw was Vikings fans in the stands. I did not see any Rams fans.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. Like you said, it is early, although it's not that much before the game. Was it starting about 45 minutes? So, you know, we'll see. And I would think if they're Vikings fans, if they're from Minnesota, they might want to stay outside a little longer to have a little bit weather, a little bit better weather than they're accustomed to. And so, but you know, like I said, we'll see how it breaks down, you know, throughout, and you know, we'll be able to judge from the noise the fans make, you know, who has the most fans there in attendance.
Which team most impressed you so far here in Wildcard Weekend?
I would say that I think, you know, Buffalo certainly did, although some would say, well, they were playing the Broncos. I thought the Broncos would give them a decent game at least, and they got off to a good start and then weren't able to, you know, capitalize on that. You know, certainly the way the Ravens dominated the Steelers was very impressive. And so I would, you know, the teams that you would expect to impress you, I think, were the teams that did. And so, you know, we're looking ahead to the weekend, obviously, with the Ravens going against the Bills and those two quarterbacks and, you know, the Chiefs playing with their record. So but those are the two teams that probably, you know, jumped out at me in terms of the way they started off. And, you know, the Ravens have an awful lot to prove because they've been a team that, with Lamar Jackson, they've had good records in, you know, in the regular season, but they haven't been able to follow it up in the playoffs. So that's going to be, I think, probably the best matchup of week two when those two teams go at it this coming weekend.
Before we get you out of here, you continue to represent St. Louis football when it comes to Hall of Fame selection. St. Louis Rams fans are continuing to wait for Torrey Holt to get selected for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Do you feel like this next round is going to be his opportunity to get in?
I sure hope so. And by the way, Torrey will be at the game here tonight. He's the designated legend captain. So I believe he'll be out there at midfield when they have the coin flip. And Mike Jones, by the way, is going to be there too, introduced in the second quarter. So, but yeah, I think I can never predict what's in the minds of all the other voters. But the thing that I stress is that it's time for him to go in. I mean, it's hard to believe that this is his 11th year of eligibility, and you only get 20. And he's been a semifinalist every year of that eligibility. And I think, quite frankly, that he was hurt by that. I think he'd be in already if he didn't become first-time eligible at the same time as Orlando Pace and Kurt Warner and Isaac Bruce. And so I think that it's his turn. I think last year he made the reduction from 15 to 10, and Reggie Wayne did not. So I'm hoping that this year, the 25th anniversary of The Greatest Show, it's finally the year that he gets in. And to be selfish, I just hope I don't have to make a presentation for him anymore. I mean, you get to the point where you go, okay, what can I say this year that's different about what Torrey Holt accomplished in his career and how great he was? And so hopefully this will be my final presentation for him.
If he gets in, is there anybody connected to St. Louis football that you still feel like has a chance that you'll pick up the torch for?
I would think that London Fletcher should at least get some look from the committee. He was a semifinalist for a couple of years, and this year he wasn't. Why that happened, who knows? The process sometimes does some strange things. I think he needs a look. And I'll tell you, I think Steven Jackson deserves a look. I mean, this was a guy who was a warrior for his entire career, played for bad teams. I mean, you add up the record, it's hard to believe how bad the record was in all his years. But he played hurt, played injured. He never backed out at the end of season when he wasn't feeling good and he had a bad groin or a bad hamstring, whatever it might be. He was just a warrior. And I'm hopeful that at some point that I'll advocate for him and see if I can get him along in the process, because he's been eligible now, I think, 4 or 5 years, and is yet to make the cut to 25.
Well, Howard, I'm sure people here in St. Louis love being able to hear your voice again. Such a big part of the St. Louis football experience, covering the NFL for those many years. We love that you're able to cover the game on a daily basis again in Arizona. But thank you so much for taking this time, and hopefully we can get you on again here moving forward.
Anytime. Always enjoy it, and thanks for having me on. Take care.
You bet. Awesome. That's Howard Balzer joining us here on the program. Yeah, he's the guy now who really represents St. Louis football when it comes to advocating for players to get a look at the Hall of Fame. And I think what he just said when it came to Torrey Holt, saying it's time. Yeah, I'll be honest, though, and this is not a personal shot at Torrey Holt. This is not a personal shot at Mike Jones. But man, does it make me feel icky thinking of these guys going out and representing the Los Angeles Rams. Ugh. Ugh. They're St. Louis Rams. So I don't know. I understand that was one of the cool things about when the Rams were here, how they brought in, St. Louis football Cardinals history into it, the ring around the dome where there were, Cardinals represented in addition to Rams. And there were definitely Rams there and Rams who never played in St. Louis. But gosh, it just makes me feel terrible to think of guys who were St. Louis Rams and represented this team and continue to have a presence in St. Louis for sure. Again, that you don't want to be, if you're a former football player who played for the Rams but played in St. Louis, you don't want to be like an alumni nomad, for lack of a better term, where you don't have a team to continue to kind of stick with and be around. But just the idea that Torrey Holt is doing things with the Los Angeles Rams and Mike Jones is doing something with the LA Rams. Ugh. Ugh. I get why they do it. I'm not mad at those guys. I'm mad at the situation. All right, we'll take a break. Have more coming up in just a moment. Again, we're done in about 20-25 minutes. We'll get out of here early for the SLU Basketball Coaches Show. That's going to be live at Humphreys. My name is Matt Pauly. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for another 20 minutes. We'll get out of here at 7 o'clock, and then we'll send the signal over to Humphreys, right off the SLU campus. That's where the SLU Billikens Coaches Show is taking place tonight. Tom Ackerman is going to be joined by Coach Tillett as they focus on the women's side tonight. Huge, huge game for SLU men's basketball tomorrow night when they travel to VCU, a place where they just simply don't win, one of the toughest places to play in the league, and SLU's got a perfect league record so far. They're the only ones. They're 3-0, and this is a big week. They'll play back-to-back games in Richmond, so they're going to spend a lot of time there. I assume they're not coming back. I guess I don't know that for sure, but why would you? They play tomorrow night at VCU, then they play Saturday in Richmond. I guess there's a scenario where they fly back on Wednesday and then fly back to Richmond on Friday. I don't know what their travel plans are, but that seems, going to the same city twice in less than a week doesn't seem like the most best way to do it. And this is I don't think classes are back in session yet. Are they? Okay, Kyle Sixta says classes are back in session at SLU. So there it is. Did they start today? Is today the first day back class?
First day was today.
Okay, so there you go. So I don't know what they're going to do. But gosh, so when I would do Air Force basketball, we would play Wednesday, Saturday games, and we would travel and we would stay out on the road for that whole time. And then I was doing Green Bay basketball. We'd play Thursday, Saturday, so you always stay on that one. Tuesday, Saturday, that's a long week. That's a really long week of being on the road. But again, you're in the same city playing back-to-back games. So today, City SC, they opened up training camp. The soccer schedule, I cannot get my... And by the offseason that they just had, the offseason, I'll use air quotes when I say offseason. The offseason that they just had was a few months. And if you're playing soccer overseas in European countries, that's like twice as long as any offseason that they have. So this MLS offseason, which we think is ridiculously short for soccer players who have competed in other countries, it is actually ridiculously long, which is just wild. But it's, you know, when we try to kind of apply our North American sports standards upon soccer, more often than not, we get that one wrong. I can't imagine just how terrible it was with this cold weather. I'm not a cold weather guy. That's part of it. I am a wimp. I am a big wimp when it comes to weather. I do not like cold weather whatsoever. I hate it so much. I avoid it. When I wake up in the morning, if it's under freezing and I know I got to take the dogs out, I'm bundling up like no other. I look around and look at neighbors and they're outside and they're wearing normal clothes and I'm looking like the abominable snowman walking around. But I just don't do cold weather. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. I can even running around. Kevin Wheeler and I were having this discussion today, and Kevin like ran cross country or something in high school. I don't know. He was trying to tell me that, oh, you know, it's not that bad when you're running. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. I was a terrible high school athlete, but I was a high school athlete. I've been outside in the cold. It sucks. It stinks. It's no good. So I can't imagine. I cannot imagine going through training camp and opening. And the story that I was reading about in the Post-Dispatch, Tom Timmerman, a bunch of guys came out wearing shorts. That's what we can get into, like the soccer storylines, the things that actually matter at some point in the future. To me, I cannot imagine going out there in the temperatures it was today. They got out there at like 11 o'clock in the morning and they're wearing shorts and everything. It's pretty regular. But their season starts in like less than 6 weeks. I think it's February 22nd. February 22nd is when they're going to open up their season. They're going to be at home against Colorado, and it's probably going to be really cold that night too. So that's just part of the way things go. They have such a long schedule where they're going to open up their season before baseball, finish off their season after baseball. But February 22nd, a 7:30 start time, and that's going to be a very, very, very cold evening, you would think. There is the chance for that. They're going to spend about a week here in St. Louis, and then they're going to shift training camp to Florida. They should have just started training camp in Florida because it'd be a lot warmer there. But you know what? They do what they do. And again, maybe they need to get ready for the cold weather that goes along with February 22nd against Colorado. But yeah, they'll shift training camp coming up in about a week or so, and they'll be able to involve some other teams and some other things once they get to Florida. But it's remarkable how quickly these seasons come along. So this is going to be the third season for City. They're about 6 weeks, and their new head coach, Olaf Melberg, being officially introduced to the media late last week, and running the practice for the first time. And I thought it was interesting because they wanted to bring somebody in who could continue to coach the system that Lutz Pfannenstiel wants them to run, which makes sense. Like Pfannenstiel is his baby. This is his the team that he has designed, and he wants them to be able to play in a certain way. And I thought it was interesting when Melberg talked about kind of his ability to coach very, you know, different styles, that's something that he's very comfortable with, and he's going to come in and he's looking to just add to what this team has done. They really haven't done much in terms of off-season acquisitions. The moves that they made for the roster are the moves that they made during the transfer window towards the end of last season. And I do think that they played better down the stretch of the season last year. How much better? I mean, a fair amount. It looked a little bit different, but they still didn't get the results that they were looking for. I'm very curious what it is going to look like this year, because I think it's hard to put expectations upon this team. I think you can take what happened in year number one, and I'm not being disrespectful to the accomplishment of year number one. It was an amazing year, and a lot of players who were part of year one, number one, are still around. But I think in terms of trying to predict what's going to happen, I throw year number one out. I just think that that was this perfect, magical, you know, magic in a bottle sort of situation where they went on this incredible run. So then you go into the second season and they don't match that whatsoever. The season more closely resembles kind of what we were expecting for season number one. But they make all those changes. They remake the team at the transfer window. They bring in a new coach. So I don't know. Not that I'm soccer prognosticator extraordinaire over here. I'm certainly not. But even if I was, I think it's tough to try to evaluate what it's going to look like. They're not going to be one of the top teams out there in terms of payroll. They don't have to be one of the top teams when it comes to payroll. They're always going to try to build a team where what they get, you know, where the sum of the parts is greater than. That's kind of the goal. And maybe at some point they start to punch up a little bit in terms of payroll. And I think they have. I think you look at what they did in the transfer window last year. You know, at one point in time, they and look, the MLS payroll like situation is so convoluted and confusing. One metric can say this is what your payroll is. Another metric can say this is what your payroll is. Like, it's not just this black and white. This is how much money you're paying guys because there's so much there. But yeah, you know, previously they had been either the lowest payroll in MLS or the lowest one or two payrolls in MLS. That number's come up a little bit. They're still bottom third, but they're towards the top of the bottom third. So they've done something there. But I just, for all that we may want to talk about what's going to happen in games and what this team may look like this year, I just feel sorry for the fact that they have to be out in training camp when it's like 20 degrees outside. That sounds beyond terrible to me. There's your hard-hitting sports breakdowns here on Sports Open Line, complaining about the cold. All right, so I had something interesting happen over the weekend where if you have sports superstitions, I think somebody might have spit in the face of sports superstitions. I'll explain, have a little fun with it as we wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. We'll do that in just a moment here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up here on a Monday night, but don't go anywhere. This is what we got coming up over the next couple hours here on KMOX. When I get done at 7 o'clock, we'll be broadcasting from Humphreys for the SLU Women's Basketball Coaches Show, as Tom Ackerman is going to be joined by Coach Tillett. And then at 8 o'clock, we'll have the Gas House Gang. That's going to be myself and Tom and Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas, and it is a Cardinals Monday, so we talk nothing but Cardinals baseball for a full hour. That's going to be coming up from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening here on KMOX. Kyle Sixta, sports producer extraordinaire in studio. So I had something happen kind of odd, of all places, in church on Sunday morning, Kyle.
Really? What happened?
So for those of you who are church-going people, many churches do something where, like, towards the beginning of the church service, the pastor's like, all right, greet the people around you, and you're supposed to, like, shake hands or whatever and say good morning. Or in some churches, you say the peace be with you or whatever. There's many options you can go with, but there's a little greeting. So doing that whole thing, and I turn behind me, and there's a woman there. Now, mind you, I am in, like, church clothing. She's in church clothing. There's no, like, NFL logo gear on anybody. And she says to me, good morning, go Packers. I thought that was kind of odd. Like, it just kind of came out of nowhere. She didn't know who I was, didn't know that I previously lived in Wisconsin or anything like that. It was just she's obviously a Packers fan, and she wanted to say, good morning, go Packers, in church. So, okay. Here's where it got a little bit interesting, Kyle. So, let me ask you this. Are the Cardinals like your number one sports team no matter what?
No matter what.
Okay. If the Cardinals are in a World Series game and you happen to be in church that day, What's like one thing that you'll make sure that maybe you'll do?
One thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to be on my best behavior at church. That's what I know for sure.
All right.
I'm not going to mess around. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm going to sit there for the whole time.
Whole time.
And I'm going to be focused.
Whole time. Okay. So again, for the church going folks out there, something, no matter what church I've ever gone to, there's always this thing where you get towards the end of the church. Maybe it's like around communion time. Maybe you sing one final song at the end. Maybe the pastor is doing the benediction, like whatever. There's always things that start to indicate, okay, this bad boy's starting to come to an end. And at that point, there's always a group of people that stand up and leave early. That's just part of like the church experience. I've never really understood it, but it happens. And you beat traffic at church, I guess it is. Get kids out of the Sunday school first. Be first in that line, whatever it might be. So it always happens. I get it. And that woman, Miss Go Packers, was among the people who got up. And I just think from a, like, again, super, I tweeted this out and my wife was not happy that I tweeted it out. She's like, oh, that's, you shouldn't do that. That's not like, I'm trying to have fun with it. I'm trying to make jokes and everything. She's like, that doesn't represent Christianity very well and things like that. Well, yeah. She's like, she pulls out the, well, are you superstitious? That she says that to me, because if you're a godly person, you're not supposed to be superstitious. All right. So my wife says to me, so, well, are you superstitious? And my answer is, if the Cardinals are in the World Series and I'm a church, I'm not leaving early. Not leaving early. Not putting that into the universe. And what ends up happening? The Packers just get run over by the Philadelphia Eagles. They look terrible. The score was not indicative of that game. The Eagles were so much better than the Packers. Now, I didn't think the Packers were going to win that game. I didn't think the Packers were especially good. I didn't think any of these things. But all I could think, I am watching this woman walk down the stairs with, 5 minutes left of the church service, leave it early. And I'm thinking, man, she is putting some bad stuff up in the air for the Packers right now. You can't do that. You cannot do that. So that was my experience at church on Sunday morning.
So my question to you is, if you see her again next week, are you going to give her the business about it?
Probably not. Probably. And I hope she's not listening right now. I don't need that coming back on me. But it's a very weird thing when you're like in church, good morning, go Packers. Like, and we're not in Wisconsin. We're not in Wisconsin.
You got to represent your team.
Now, if it's the middle of October and the Cardinals are making a playoff run and that exact same situation happens and somebody says, go Cardinals, I get it. We're in St. Louis. But that was something that she should not have left early. Not saying the Packers would have won if she didn't, but she should not have left early from church on Sunday morning. All right, that is it for the program today. Again, we're done early. Speaking of early, I'm going to get out of here early. But we got a good reason. We got the SLU Coaches Show. It is on the way next. Tom Ackerman has you in just a few minutes right here on KMOX.